Well, I want to back up just a little bit. Last Sunday, we spent some time on discipleship. We talked about what that means. It's clearly a command from the Lord. But before, I feel like I put the cart before the horse a little bit. So we're going to back up. There is a phrase I talked about earlier that we use to help describe the Tenasket Free Methodist Church. I hope I've said it enough that you can say it yourself. And I know you can, so I'll just say it for you because I know you all have it memorized. We're a growing church family that passionately pursues the Lord. There's an emphasis on several things in there, one of them being growing. We're not remaining the same. We're not the frozen chosen. It's not about us and what we want, but that we are compelled by God, by His Word, by His Spirit, to go and share this with those in the community. We're a growing church family. Emphasis on not remaining the same. But we don't just grow. It's not that we are a pyramid scheme that we want to add. We want the church to be full because then I was going to use a phrase that I shouldn't use. We want the church full because then more people, the better. We do it because we love the Lord. We passionately pursue Him, and He calls us to do that. So, in that phrase, there's an emphasis on us being a church family. That's what Scripture calls us, but that we don't remain the same. We go and share Christ with those around us because we love God. And it emphasizes what we do here as a family. I say that because what I've seen over the last couple of years, whether it's bad leadership, whether it's the straying from the mission, you can label it whatever you want. Can I just talk about a reality within our body? What I've seen as your pastor over the last couple of years, discipleship in its various different forms and missions have become a mantelpiece. We talk about them. Yes, we value them, but they're not really being lived out. That's what I've seen over the last couple of years. Can we all agree on that? So last Sunday, we talked about discipleship. I encourage you, it's not just a good idea. It's not something we should think about. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you are a disciple maker. Done and done. Pretty straightforward. I want to go back to a scripture we talked about in there. Matthew 22. I'm going to go back just a little bit farther than we did before. It's on the screen. You can open up to your Bible if you open up in your own Bible, Matthew 22, 34 through 40, and I'll read it. And then I want to talk about and emphasize something. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, and I hope you all can say this because you have it memorized. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We talked about that last Sunday, but I want to emphasize something in it. When he says, what's the greatest commandment you and I can hear? What does it mean to follow you? What does it mean to follow you? And here's his answer. Memorize the Bible. Learn the Hebrew and the Greek. I want you to be a good, studious person. Be good moral. He doesn't say any of that. What does he say? Love the Lord. When he's asked about the greatest commandment, he goes immediately to affection. This is good news. This is good news because when he was asked, he went to affection. And I want you to hear what he's saying. If you want to be a follower, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to be a follower of God, if you want to be one who says, I'm following the way, like it talks about in Acts, grow in affection. Do you hear that? I hope you can breathe a sigh of relief because the weight is no longer on you. That's the good news. This simultaneously invites those of you who are, you were raised in a good Christian home. You were raised by a mom and dad who were very supportive. You were raised to know what's right and what's wrong. You were raised in most of the world would look at you and go, that was a fairly easy and loving life. It simultaneously invites you in as a disciple, as well as the person who has lived a broken, drug and alcohol addicted, trauma surviving, angsty, troubling life. Both are invited and all along the spectrum. This is good news. The pressure is not on your performance. The command is based on affection. Love the Lord. If he had said anything else, I don't know if I could preach it as good news. If he was asked and he listed off the Ten Commandments, don't commit adultery, thou shalt not commit murder, don't steal. If he had listed off all of those, it now becomes about you and I's ability to follow those commands. If he had asked those questions, if he had been asked that question and preached and commanded the Ten Commandments, the weight is on you and I. The weight's on our ability to obey them. I would have a really hard time preaching them because loving the Lord sets me free from performance. Loving the Lord sets me free from, do I follow those commands? I mean, let's look at it. In Exodus 32, this is a free gift for you. You don't have to pay for it. In Exodus 32, when God gives the commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, what happens? 3,000 people die. When the Holy Spirit shows up in Acts, what happens? 3,000 people are saved. The commandments condemn me, every single one of them, because I fall short. But being in Christ sets me free. And what does he say about being in him? It's based on affection. It used to be the phrase we'd use, love God, love people, make disciples. There are two things that we're required to do as followers of Jesus. Love God, love the neighbor, and out of those, we make disciples. Are you following with me? Out of our affection comes that which he commands us to do. Look at the prodigal son. I love this story so much. There's the son who squanders, goes to his dad, says, I wish you were dead because I'd like my inheritance. And his dad says, if that's what you want, go ahead. He goes away, goes to Vegas. I mean, he goes somewhere like Vegas, squanders what he has, lives a horrible life. At one point, he's so low, he's eating pig food, which is a big deal, whole separate message. And he comes to a realization that if I just work for my dad, I have a better living. If I just work for him, life would be better. So he comes back and there's the part of the scripture every pastor likes to preach. He comes, the father has his arms open, he comes running. I don't know if he jumps into his father's arms. He really just says, like, okay, I've sinned before you and before God. He's everything he prepared, and the dad welcomes him in with a great big hug and puts his clothing on him and welcomes him back in and says, hey, go kill the fatted calf. We're gonna celebrate. Like we just had a graduation party. We're going to celebrate. I love the very last part of that story. The other son, the older son, is out in the fields working and hears the celebration. He comes up and the father's there and he's upset. I've been here the whole time. I've been serving you. And what does it say that the father does? He appeals to him. We have to celebrate this. We have to do this. Your brother, whom we thought was dead, is alive. No. This isn't just a celebration for the brother. This is a celebration for you. You've been toiling and working because of your love for me, not out of performance, which is what we kind of see from the older brother. You've been toiling and working, and because of that, there's a place for your brother to come back to. Do you hear it? It's not out of performance. It's not because we're supposed to be good Christians that live this way. This is what we're supposed to do. It's out of our affection for God. Because we love the Lord. If that's not emphasis enough, that it's out of love, Jesus does command. We talked about it last Sunday. We call it the Great Commandment. There's the Great Commandment, and then there's the Great Commission. It's on the screen. You can flip open to it. It's Matthew 28. We're going to start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Next. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do you hear the emphasis in what he's saying? There's the disciples with him. He had gone ahead to them, revealed himself to them, showed up, scared them because he popped up in the corner, tells them, hey, go ahead. I'm going to be in Galilee. Go to Galilee. I'll meet you there. They show up, and while they're waiting for him, that's a whole other story. They're waiting for him at the Sea of Galilee, and it says the 11 are there. They're all together, and Jesus, where Jesus had told them to go, and he teaches them one last thing in the book of Matthew. He teaches them, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you to the very end of the age. Do you hear what he's emphasizing? This is an all-encompassing statement. All authority, not some, not most of it, not 99%. All authority has been given to me. So if you love me and you're going to obey my commands like it talks about, then you're going to make this a priority. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. All authority, all nations, everything I've commanded. Who's left out in this? The answer is no one. It's re-emphasized again in Acts 1:8 when he's talking about the Holy Spirit comes. And he says, but when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be filled with power and you will be my disciples too. You'll be my, what's the word I'm forgetting right now? Who knows it? Good. I don't remember either. You're going to be my disciples and be the picture of me into the world. It's going to be all of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. The emphasis is the same. There is no one left out of the picture. That you're going to be a disciple maker. You're going to be my disciple and a disciple maker here in OMAC, Washington, the United States, to the very ends of the earth. Notice the group gets a little bit bigger each time he makes that statement, with the emphasis that it never stops. And he ends at the very ends of the earth. Okay, let me make sure we're on the same page. That out of my affection for the Lord, out of my love, out of growing affection, I'm going to obey his commands. I'm going to listen to what he has to say and take it serious that it's not just a good idea. And I'm going to make disciples of all nations everywhere. Here and outside of the church. If we are God's people, this is not a mantelpiece and just something we talk about. If we are God's people, we take this seriously. We make disciples here, and we make disciples outside of these walls. One last thing I want to point out before we get to some other aspects of this message. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church, and he's trying to encourage them. It's not just a good idea to listen to what Jesus has to say. 14 in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, for Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul's reaffirming what we already know to be true. If Christ died and he was resurrected and you love him, then as his people, you obey him. You are driven by that same love, his love for you and your love for him. Because it's no longer us who live for ourselves. We live for him who died. I don't know about anyone else, but that's enough for me to know that I should take what Jesus has to say seriously. If he really died for me, if I really love him, if I really take this serious, then I'm going to do what he says. Can I say something that not many people up front will say? If you at all are thinking, I really don't have any intention of following the Lord, I really don't have any intention of obeying him, you are not saved. You cannot say, I am filled with the Holy Spirit, and not want to do what he says. It is not possible. If that offends you, I'm happy to talk to you afterwards. But I can't, one day I'm going to have to stand before a holy God, and I don't want to have to explain why I didn't tell you. If you love the Lord, you will obey him. Not because it's this white knuckle, I'm going to earn my salvation, I want to earn the good points, to get favor from him. But I love the Lord so much, how can I not obey him? We all tracking? Good. This is the part of the message that if you're online, if you're watching at home, you're going to lose the feed because we can't have this next conference.